Hello, this is Donna Reed, reading to you today from the Herald and Review from Decatur on Thursday, February 13th. Let's take a look at the front page. Big article. Rock the early vote. Ballots may be cast before Election Day in Macon County is the lead article. Decatur. Do you work on Election Day? Will you be out of town or have something else that will consume all of your time? Even if the answer is yes, that doesn't mean you will have to miss your opportunity to vote in the March 17th primary election. That's because Macon County residents have the chance to cast their votes early at the county office building on weekdays and select weekends leading up to that election. The basic purpose of early voting is to allow people enough time to get to the polls, Macon County Clerk Josh Tanner said. Some people may be scheduled to work or will be out of town, so he said this gives ample time for residents to vote. Bonus? There's usually no line. Some people have already made up their mind on who they're voting for, so there's no need to wait, Tanner said. Jeffrey and Ruth Pruitt took advantage of the early voting opportunity on Wednesday. The couple didn't want to miss the opportunity to vote since they will be traveling to Texas. Notable races, proposals. The purpose of the primary election is to determine which candidate will represent the party in the general election November 3rd. In the primary, voters are required to select a ballot for a single party. Selecting a nonpartisan ballot will allow them to vote on a proposition in their precinct. The race garnering the most attention is for president. There are 13 Democrats on the ballot hoping to replace incumbent President Donald Trump in the White House. Trump is being challenged in the Republican primary by businessman Rocky DeLafonte. The primary also features five Republicans. Mark Curran Jr. of Libertyville, Tom Tarter of Springfield, Casey Chilbeck of Glenview, Peggy Hubbard of Belleville, and Robert Marshall of Burr Ridge, seeking to unseat U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. Two Democrats, Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan of Springfield and Stephanie Smith of Urbana, are seeking the 13th congressional district seat held by Republican Rodney Davis. Voters countywide will decide the Republican candidates for circuit clerk, Jennifer Yabarro and Sherry Doty, and state's attorney Philip Tibbs and Scott Reuter, and will trim the list of candidates for county board, District 5 and 7. The races for county coroner, recorder, auditor, and county board districts 2 and 4 are uncontested, as are the races for the 96th, 101st, and 102nd seats in the Illinois House. In addition to ballot questions seeking a tax increase to fund a building project that will include a new middle school in the Marora Forsyth School District and fund police protection in Warrensburg, voters in several Macon County communities also will decide the fate of recreational cannabis issues within their boundaries. When can you vote? The Macon County Clerk's Office on the first floor, office building 141 South Main Street, will be open for early voting on weekdays from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. through March 6th, including February 7th, President's Day, and George Washington's birthday. Other times available are 9 a.m. to noon, Saturday, March 7th, noon to 3 p.m., Sunday, March 8th, 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday, March 9th, through Friday, March 13th, and Monday, March 16th, 8:30 a.m. 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Saturday, March 14th, and Sunday, March 15th. Vote-by-mail ballot applications are available through March 12th. Registration. Macon County residents can register online to vote through February 18th or in person through Election Day, Tanner said. If someone wants to register to vote on February 19th or after, they must also vote at that time. The Illinois State Board of Elections says two forms of identification and proof of a mailing address are needed when registering in person to vote. If someone registers by mail, they will need proof of their identity by submitting their driver's license number or state identification card number. If neither are available, the last four digits of their Social Security number, a copy of current and valid photo identification, or a copy of a current utility bill, bank statement, paycheck, government check, or another government document proving someone's name and address. It is Central Illinois, so you don't know what the weather will be like on Election Day, Tanner said, mentioning sleet or snow as possibilities. People who may have trouble getting around may want to come in and vote early. So here's some tips on early voting. It says the residents can vote at the Macon County Clerk's Office, again, 141 South Main Street, room 119, at the times that were mentioned. And here is another tip about voting requirements. Again, you must be a U.S. citizen. You must be 17 years old on the date of the primary election and turn 18 on or before the date of the general or consolidated election. You must live in election precinct at least 30 days prior to the election day. You must not be serving time in jail or prison, and you may not vote anywhere else. So let's look at another article here on the front page of the Decatur Herald and Review. This one, Central Illinois Health, flu season brings spike in illness to hospitals and schools. DPS official, virus hitting students harder this year. This is out of Decatur. If you feel lousy, you have company. Thousands of Central Illinoisians are sick with influenza, flu-like illness, and strep throat, keeping kids home from school, parents home from work, and healthcare providers busy. It seems like the kids are running higher fevers and it's lasting longer with a lingering cough, said Angie Wetzel, Health Services Coordinator for Decatur Public Schools. The numbers seem to be about the same, but they're sicker this year. It's hitting them harder this year. We've had influenza turn into pneumonia and things like that. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimated that so far this season, there have been at least 22 million flu illnesses, 210,000 hospitalizations, and 12,000 deaths from flu. In Illinois, the Department of Public Health said 532 people were admitted to intensive care with flu complications this flu season as of February 1st. People of all ages are being affected, some seriously. Joey Santos, a 16-year-old junior at Glenwood High School in Chatham, died Monday after first coming down with the flu, then developing pneumonia, according to GoFundMe page for the family. The number of flu patients has spiked this year. At both Decatur and area hospitals. Decatur Memorial Hospital said staff at the hospital, express care, and physicians' offices have seen more than 700 positive test results since October. That represents an 80% increase in flu compared to the same time frame from 2019, according to Sharon Norris, affiliate vice president and chief nursing officer. At HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, flu numbers also have been unusually high and continuing to trend upward, said Rachel Deerwester, infection preventionist. From October 2019 to Wednesday, the hospital treated 374 patients who tested positive for flu. That's up from the prior year, when 252 flu patients were seen from October 2018 to March 2019. A number of area school districts also have reported an increase in occurrences. At Lutheran School Association, the last 2 weeks of January had an absent rate of 5%, said Principal Allison Nolan. 10 to 18 students have been out each day, along with a number of adult staff. Central A&M officials said the worst seemed to be about 3 weeks ago, when a significant number of both students and staff were out sick. Orienta High School reported an average absence rate of 8.7% in the last month, and about 5 students a day were absent from the elementary school. Still, Superintendent Damian Jones said few parents actually specify the flu when calling to report a child's illness. In Decatur Public Schools, Wetzel said the absent rate has been roughly 5% to 7.5% on average. Custodians are working hard to keep the facilities clean, using an ionizing solution to kill germs, she said. The district also sent letters to parents encouraging them to keep their children home while they are sick. They need a couple of extra days to get over it, Wetzel said. It's hitting the adults, teachers, and staff as well. It's just not a very good flu season this year, that's for sure. Let's take a look at a third article from the front page. Illinois schools, students in active shooter drills a concern. Shooter simulations, a state requirement. This is by Peter Nikias of the Chicago Tribune. Since last year, every school in Illinois has been required by law to conduct active shooter drills to prepare students for potential violence. But two national teacher unions are calling for an end to the practice of simulating violence during such drills because of the potentially harmful effects they can have on the mental health of students and teachers. The American Federation of Teachers and the National Educators Association, along with anti-violence group Every Town for Gun Safety, said they want to end simulations that mimic an actual incidence of gun violence during school safety drills. A paper jointly released Tuesday by the groups questions the benefits of involving students in active shooter drills at all, and advises that if children do participate, the drills should be announced beforehand, age appropriate, and designed to minimize trauma. They're becoming more perverse and obscene, hiring strangers to wear masks and rattle the doors of classrooms without letting students or faculty know, shooting teachers with rubber bullets, students with fake blood lying in the hallway being asked to play the role of victims. All of these things have caused us over the years to look at lockdown drills, said Shannon Watts, founder of gun violence prevention group Moms Demand Action. The more we've learned, the more clear it is we have to change the way we're conducting active shooter drills. A law that went into effect last year requires Illinois school districts to conduct at least one law enforcement drill that addresses an active threat or an active shooter within a school building. 39 other states also have school shooter drill mandates, according to Every Town. But as in Illinois, how they're implemented seems to vary widely. Several suburban districts and Chicago public schools said they don't involve students in active shooter drills. Other schools do have students participate in varying degrees, But in most cases, they're warned ahead of time and the drills don't simulate violence, officials say. CPS drills do not involve crisis simulations or resemble the drills the American Federation of Teachers is rightly concerned about, said James Girardi, a spokesman for Chicago Public Schools. CPS students do not participate in active shooter simulations, and all emergency response simulations are conducted when students are not at school, he said. Let's go on to some local news. We see the snow outside our windows, and here's an article on that page two about snow blankets the area. Road crews poised to respond. Snow's exit Thursday to usher in below zero temps before a warm-up. This is from Decatur. Snow blanketed the region starting Wednesday afternoon, with state police warning that troopers were responding to multiple central Illinois crashes during the evening commute. The National Weather Service at Lincoln predicted 2 to 5 inches of snow throughout central Illinois. Macon County and city road crews were ready to respond, preparing to work through the night if needed. "We're always ready," said Dan Mendenhall, Decatur's municipal services manager. After all, it's central Illinois. Shortly before 5:30 p.m., Illinois State Police said they were responding to crashes and vehicles in ditches. Decatur Police and the Macon County Sheriff's Office, however, said shortly after 6 p.m. that they had not responded to crashes that could be attributed to weather. Macon County Engineer Bruce Bird said his crews were watching the radar and Illinois Department of Transportation online maps. "We have all the trucks ready to go," Bird said. 10 trucks were available, and he was prepared to split shifts in two if needed. By the time the snow began to fall Wednesday afternoon, Mendenhall had a few crews out checking bridges and suspended pavements for icy and slick conditions. "So, depending on the temperatures, we'll have crews out tonight," he said. The maximum amount of trucks Mendenhall has available is 15. The city receives notifications before the weather advisories are posted to the public. "So on the first sight of snow, we have crews out preparing the roads," Mendenhall said. As snow exits the area Thursday, temperatures are expected to steadily fall throughout the day. By Friday morning, much of the region will experience wind chills of 10 below to 15 below zero, with actual temperatures near or below zero, the Weather Service said. Happily, the extreme cold snap should be short. Highs are expected in the 30s and 40s this weekend, the Weather Service said. With the freezing temperatures comes the danger that wet snow and slush could turn to ice. Road crews were prepared Wednesday night to clear pavements in hope of avoiding icy roadways. Drivers are encouraged to keep a safe distance from snowplows and salt trucks. "Remember, they're not going to move really fast, but they're there to help," Bird said about the snow removal vehicles. Before drivers venture out onto the roads, officials recommend preparing for certain situations by stashing a shovel in your vehicle and filling up your gas tank. "But if you don't have to be out, stay home for your safety," Mendenhall said. "And a few less people is good for us, too." At the top of this article is a great picture of a little dog, a little black guy with brown tail and nose and his four paws, and a lady is leaning over encouraging him. And here's the line. Shelter manager Lisa Lambert plays with a mixed breed dog named Parker on Wednesday during outside time at the Humane Society of Decatur and Macon County on North Woodward Street. Lambert said that Parker is one of the few dogs there at the shelter that really enjoys the snow, and he looks like he's having a lot of fun. Okay, let's move on to a warmer article. Beer Music Festival coming to Devon from Decatur. A new event is coming to kick off the summer at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater. The Devon On Tap Music and Beer Festival will be 3 to 8 p.m. Saturday, May 16th at the amphitheater's location at 2686 East Cantrell Street in Nelson Park. Featuring live music from local Decatur and Taylorville bands, along with beer tasting from local breweries, the event is centered around kicking off the 2020 season at the amphitheater. Local vendors, Notorious P.I.G. and Allen's Concessions, will have food trucks stationed at the event, and food can also be purchased from Devon's concession stand. We know people can't wait to get to the Devon, so we wanted to leverage that excitement with something really neat to kick off the season, said Jill Appleby, director of the Decatur Parks Foundation, in a statement. We're going to turn the venue backward by having the bands play toward the lake and line up the breweries along the road behind the stage. Admission is $30 per person until April 15th, then increasing to $40 per person until May 16th. Admission includes 8 tasting tickets and a complimentary tasting glass. Designated driver tickets are also on sale for $10. Devon On Tap is raising money for the Decatur Parks Foundation. Tickets can be purchased through the Decatur Park District website through evenbright.com. The Parks Foundation was an integral part of the Devon project, so we're excited to host a unique fundraiser for them. We're also rewarding our Devon season ticket holders with half-off admission for this event as a thank you for their loyalty, said Mike Wilcott, general manager of the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater, in a statement. And on to another article here. Police: woman finds child's father in bedroom stealing money, Decatur. A woman told police that the estranged father of her child broke into her home, entered her bedroom, and stole $400, according to a sworn Decatur police affidavit. Police say the crime happened on the night of October 3, 2019, and officers found and arrested the 22-year-old man close to 1 a.m. Saturday. A teenage relative of the mother told police she had been asleep on a couch in the woman's home in the 800 block of South Webster Street when she woke up to find the man standing over her. She said he asked where the woman was and then walked into the woman's bedroom. She heard the woman start screaming and state something to the effect of, "Take the money," said the statement. The juvenile reports observing the kitchen window open and items moved from under the window from when the man unlawfully entered the residence. The woman told police the man had not lived at that address since February 2019. He was booked on preliminary charges of residential burglary and felony criminal trespass to a residence. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. Macon County jail records showing the man is free on $7,000 bail after posting $700 to get out. Here's a brief article. Entries accepted for art show in Shelbyville. Participants for the Shelby County Art Show are now being accepted. Registration deadline is March 19th. The annual art show will be April 4th and 5th at the Lake Shelbyville Visitor Center. The artwork needs to have been created since last year's show. Adult categories include amateur, advanced amateur, professional, and copycat corner. For a $15 fee, artists can enter up to 6 pieces. Brochures, which includes the entry forms, are available at Merle Norman, 144 East Main Street, Shelbyville, Flourish Gallery and Studios, 140 and a half East Main Street, Shelbyville, Lake Shelbyville Visitor Center, 1989 Illinois Road, Route 16, and Shelbyville Chamber of Commerce, 143 East Main Street. Grammy winner returning to Decatur, Pop's Place. If you go, what is it? Blues guitarist Paul Nelson. When? 3 p.m. Sunday, February 16th. Where? Pop's Place, 4335 West Main Street, Decatur. Cost free. On the web, www.paulnelsonguitar.com. Grammy-winning guitarist and producer Paul Nelson has made his way onto stages around the world. Now he will be back to play in Decatur. The musician will perform on Sunday, February 16th at Pop's Place in Decatur. Pop's Place is one of our favorite places to play, Nelson said. The audience comes from all over. The blues guitarist has been touring throughout the country, promoting his new material. We're in the process of releasing our latest work, Nelson said. Along with new music, the shows also have Nelson's interpretation of favorite blues tunes. It's an energetic show, he said. The Paul Nelson Band has been on the road for more than a year. He said he has found people love guitar music, but people want a show, he said. According to the musician, there has been a resurgence in guitar rock in the past few years. Blues rock is what people want to see. It's a combination of the rhythm and blues and rock, he said. Blues fans want rock. Rock fans want blues. Throughout his years, Nelson has played alongside several accomplished musicians, including blues icons such as Buddy Guy and Eric Clapton, as well as Johnny Winter and the Allman Brothers guitarist Warren Haynes. He has also joined in on stage across the seas during a blues concert tour. Winner's album, Step Back, helped Nelson win a Grammy for performing and producing the record. Performing his own work is still one of Nelson's enjoyments. He said his band is on stage to entertain. Their style seems to have an appeal, since nearly every show is sold out, according to the musician. Here's a brief comment. Virus outbreak. A second case of novel coronavirus was confirmed in the U.S. among evacuees from China, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Wednesday. The person was on a flight from the city of Wuhan that arrived in Southern California last week, the CDC said. Deficit. The U.S. budget deficit through the first 4 months of this budget year is up 19% from the same period a year ago, putting the country on track to record its first $1 trillion deficit since 2012, the Treasury Department said Wednesday. Assaults. The U.S. Department of Defense is struggling to change how it handles the abuse of military kids, including cases involving sexual assault by other children, according to a report commissioned by Congress and released Wednesday. That's it for our first hour reading here on this Thursday, the 13th of February of the Decatur Herald Review. This is Donna Reed. Nice to talk with you this morning. Stay with us for part two.